Amen. It's sure good to be back in God's house. Appreciate what the Lord done around here last night. The hearts and lives of men and women that got a touch of God. It was wonderful. And I tell you, there ain't nothing can buy that. There ain't nothing in the world can buy that. You can't even go down there and snort that up your nose and get that good. And one boy testified last night, said before I got saved, I tried to put everything I could up my nose. Well, you couldn't get this up there. This is wonderful. It's better than you've ever felt in your entire life. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're just only outside looking in. You don't know exactly what it feels like. But what Brother Ron was talking about tonight threw open the door of opportunity that you can know what it feels like. Oh, come on here. I want to ask you a question, and we'll move on here. Let them sing, and then we'll get right into the preaching if the Lord will help us. But what is more important than the lost getting saved? We was in a revival at our church, and I got to praying, and I got to seeking the Lord about it. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I'll forfeit every bit of the shouting and running and speaking in tongues this week and stand over here and pray with every man that bows in that altar if you'll just save men this week. See, it's all about populating heaven. It's not us. It's all about populating heaven. Amen? Worship with them while they sing. I truly testify to the fact that it's just ringing a little bit, brother, that He's the best thing I've ever found. Amen. I'm glad for everyone that's here. Appreciate each and every one attending. I'm trusting the Lord to help us in this service today, tonight. I want to see something special around these altars. We see God do something for the lost souls in this building. But not only just for the lost souls, but I'd like to see God send a spiritual awakening across this house tonight. Amen. I know you've been on your feet. But I've got something to preach tonight that has troubled me for 2 days. And this day the Lord has laid heavy upon my heart. And I want to be very careful. I feel like sometimes we take preaching just for talent. And we never take it for the serious lifeline it's supposed to be. People know you. People care for you and love you. Who couldn't preach in that atmosphere? But the test of that ministry and the test of that gospel is when it wades through the powers of hell to pull men out of it. And that's what I want God to do here tonight. I want you to stand with me. And I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32, a very familiar portion of Scripture. When you found your place, say amen. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, and the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which was in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. God spoke to me the other morning in morning service, yesterday morning. Preach this message. I want to preach tonight when playing ain't fun anymore. When playing is not fun anymore. Won't you reach over, that's your spouse beside you, or just a brother right there next to you, a sister right there next to you, sister to sister, brother to brother, however it may be. And I want you to bind with me together in prayer. And I want you to help me pray that God will let conviction walk the aisles of this building. Father, I come before you tonight. Lord, as humbly as I know how, seeking the help of the Spirit of God, touch this lips of clay. Let conviction settle in this building, I pray. The power of God touch every heart, every life, every soul. And I'm asking God for your anointing to break every yoke that binds. And let that spirit that chases every demon and devil in hell out of this place tonight come forth with liberty and power in this house. Saturate this building with your presence. We'll praise you for what you're going to do here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. As I said earlier, thank you once again for coming. We find here in our text, it seems to be as if it's not one of the most ungrateful pictures that has been painted. It seems that the ink of the man of God that had penned this together no doubt had wept while in remembrance of the course of the nature of fallen man. You see, when men fall from the grace of God, when individuals leave the fold of God, when they forget who their Maker is, I'm not asking you to tell me out of your lips who do you believe in. I'm not asking you to tell me from your lips, are you really a Christian or not? But would your heart speak what you really are? Would your heart tell us really what is inside of you and what motivates you, what operates you, and what makes you move? We find here in these scriptures, we find in this setting of these words, where a generation of people had come out from among the Egypt's bondage. I know it's a very familiar story, but how that they have grown so weary, and how complacency got a hold of them, and they begin to murmur, and they begin to complain, and they begin to ask and say, "God, make us a God. We forgot where this man is. He don't even know where he's at. We don't know where he's at." And so therefore they begin to get displayed. They begin to get to feeling like God ain't no more of a value to them. I want you to notice something here. The very first fall of man, it was when he forgot that it was God that saved him. It was God that brought him out. It wasn't anybody else. Deliverance came not by the preacher. It came not by the church. It came by not your standard, but it came by the ordaining of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, that God would hear us tonight and help us in this building. We have got more men. men and more women that are pleasure seekers than they are God seekers. Their flesh is their God. It operates them. It motivates them. It tells them what to say. It tells them what to speak. It tells them where to go. It tells them how to act. My God in heaven, give us another move of the Holy Ghost and a crucify our flesh and separate us. It's a sad story. Help me here, Lord. Of impatience. I want to lay this out before I get carried away. It's a sad story of impatience. It's a sad work of forgetfulness. It is the most diabolical state of ungratefulness. It is the very state that man falls into when he falls out with God. I'm not out with God. If you're not out with God, why did you leave Him to start with? If you're not out with Him, why did you turn your back and walk out on Him? I've got nothing against God. Well, then why did you choose to backslide and go away from God? I must have declare to you, there'll come a day when the sin pleasure will no longer satisfy you, will no longer make you happy anymore. Hear me. I want to ease into this. We find here the first date. I know it's going to get tight right here. The first date of ungratefulness. They started talking about the preacher. Help me here. Help me here. I mean to tell you, or some of the folks in this house, you think because we're preachers that we can hold your children to the old rugged cross. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to be an individual affair. It's always been an individual affair. I can't make your boy stay off drugs. I can't keep him out of pornography. I can't keep him out of the show lights of this present world. But I want to tell you about one power that's beyond the preacher. That's beyond the church. If he ever got washed in the blood, if he ever got cleansed by the power of that blood, it'll separate him. It'll pull him out of a world of iniquity. The fun lights of this world will soon lose their value. They'll begin to dim. They'll begin to fade. When the God of heaven sprinkles the human soul with the blood of the Lamb. Leave me alone. It's my life. I'll do it like I want to. You see, Moses said it. He said, I'd rather suffer the afflictions of the righteous than I had enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, there's a danger in that season that all seasons must come to an end. I said all seasons must come to an end. I was praying, Sister Hampton, one day at the church, and God spoke to me in a time of prayer. He was dealing with my soul about a message. I began to pray about that man where he sent the servant of God away. He told Paul, he said, wait, go your way, and when I find a more convenient season, then I'll pray. I'm going to tell you in this house, there's a lot of men in hell still looking for a season, still looking for an opportunity, still looking for a chance to pray through while you are pleasure seeking, while you're out throwing your life away, and while sin is a making havoc out of you. There's men that are screaming in hell, one more season, just another chance, just another opportunity, and I'll pray through. Seeking it. It's the fun life. Don't deal with it. It's the fun life. It's the late night party. It's the late night excitement. It's the running the roads. It's the carelessness and the free love going. Come on here. And they go out and they waste themselves and they get so involved and they get so entangled and they get so wrapped up in it. But when you hear their cry on that altar of prayer, what is that cry? I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of what it's done to me. It's busted up my home. You ain't helping me. There's folks in this building tonight. You're a living proof of busted up homes and destroyed lives of children. I'm in this house. You've got to testify to it. You ought to be the loudest amener in this building tonight. My life's a wreck because of the fun time, because of the pleasure. While I should have waited on God, while I should have not worshipped anything but God, I should have kept myself pure. I should have stayed out of the lights of this world. You see, it's fun. You hear me? It's fun. It's exciting. I was casting the devil out of a woman one morning. I don't believe you was at the church. You was off pastoring at that time. I was casting the devil out of a woman. Happened to be my own flesh and blood sister. Conviction fell in that house that morning. I looked around and I was walking across the front of the church where we had folks on the altar praying. I walked past her and she reached out and grabbed me and she grabbed my shirt and pulled me to my knees. And when she pulled me to my knees, she looked me dead in my face and she said, I've got to have help. If I don't get help, I'm going to go to hell. I fell on my face right there beside her. I began to pray when the Holy Ghost came in and gave deliverance unto her soul. Are you hearing me? She testified to it. She said, I remember a day when I was 13 years old. I stood in my bedroom window. I looked out the window. I saw that demon of drugs look at me and said, I'm going to overtake you. She said, it came through that window and got a hold of me. She's 40 years old and had it all these years. What are you saying, preacher? It's a miserable torment. It's an ache in her heart. It's a destroying to her soul. You go on and ignore it. You go on and play with it. You go on and make havoc of it. But it'll be the torment of your life. Not me, preacher. I ain't got no problems. What you got molded, what you got laid aside, that every time the Holy Ghost goes to get near you, you want to run. You don't want to fess up. You don't want to come clean with it. Come on here, I know it. I know last night was hip pocket high, but I'm telling you, I'm reaching for your soul tonight. No, I wouldn't be scared to say, and it's not really a whole lot of drug as much as it is a spirit of perversion that's getting a hold of our children. Come on here. I leaned over and told your pastor, and I may have to wind up setting down a 3/4 of you, but I told your pastor, I've got a burden on my heart. God spoke to me this morning. He said, if men come out of sin, and they seek not to change their attire, they seek not to change their look, it will drag them back. You hear me tonight? It may come a little plainer than you like, but you hear me. If you was involved in sin of homosexuality, every perversion that is just like it, you better throw it away. You better comb your hair different. You better talk different. You better act different. That demon of hell, it's after you. It wants to take you back to the lights of this world. There ain't nothing wrong with me, preacher. I know it just as good as I know my name. You're going to flip out and go crazy on me. But our little boys running around here with their little rainbow tattoos, and our little girls running around here trying to look as manly as they can, act just as manly as they can. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's a floodlight. It's a drawing down. But you hear me this night. It's going to end up in a sad day. It's going to end up in a crooked hour. It's going to end up in a night when the lights of the world no longer shine on you. When the pleasures of sin no longer are your excitement. But it's an ache in your conscience. Go on! Call me fanatic! But when this spirit, I want to use just as much discretion about this as I can. But at the time of that sacrifice, at the time of that molding calf, in that foreign country, at that time, Adam Clark made the statement, the word, when they rose up to play, it meant for pleasures of flesh. You'll understand what I'm saying. Come on here. It was this idea that every man hid his eyes and he said, we'll just hide. Nobody will see us. Nobody will know it. I'm telling you, I've confronted this spirit until I'm just about to the place I'm willing for God to start calling them out and pointing them out in front of people. It's making havoc of our churches. It's a ruining preachers. You have in this house. It's a ruining your children. And you sit there pious and act like there's nothing to it. I'm telling you, there's a golden calf being made in your house. That's a rock in your home. That's taking your children on a highway to hell. I don't know why I'm here about this, but I'm going to say it. I wrote it down. When you get saved out of that crooked life, and you don't desire to get rid of that manly way, you ain't never got free. Shout now. When young boys, you ain't a helping me. When young boys, I'm preaching on when playing ain't fun anymore. When young boys rather make flower arrangements than they had put a shovel in their hand and go to work. Come on here. I said, come on here. You might as well ease in here a little bit closer, because if you don't, I'm a coming. When we'd rather sit at pious and look around as though there's no wrong our children are doing. They dress like the TV movie stars. They go out and buy clothes because they wear them. Hey, come on here. I'm telling you, there's more mamas and daddies that are in debt tonight because of the fact of the lust of their children. Are you hearing me? The lust of their children has drove that entire home in a state of pressure, in a bowing position under the God of this world. I'm fixing to step out on a limb. I don't care if it throws me out yonder and everybody in the world talks about me. But there once was a day when our boys didn't comb their hair like the rest of them rotten ones out yonder. Do you hear me? There once was a time we left the jail for the women. I'm telling you, come on here. I'm sorry, but you hear me. It's a sad day, mister, when it takes you longer to comb your hair than when your wife's got hair down to here, and it takes her a shorter time than it does you. Something's the matter! I'm telling you, I'm here to kick against it. I'm here to scream against that fun life. It'll end you up in a dark street. It'll end you up in a bed of AIDS. My God in heaven, I said that spirit is a lark on you. It's a bothering you. It's a tormenting you. And if you don't get free of it, that's going to make you his prisoner. Leave my calf alone. Preacher, what are you trying to do? Run my children away from the church? No. It looked like in all the years you've been saved, you'd want us to do everything we could to keep them. Did you hear me in this house? Brother Bailey told me tonight, he said, you take your time and preach. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right here. I'm under orders of heaven and under orders of this man of God. Are you hearing me in this house? There's things going on in this building tonight that some of you mamas, when your children were little, you defied the fact that it would ever go on. But now it's happening in your house. I know it. I know it. In a hole in this meeting. But sister, you hear me. I confronted this by the Holy Ghost this morning when you dress at the store. And the first thing that runs across your mind is, how noticeable is this? You ain't decent when the Holy Ghost has to move on you and you have to guard yourself. Come on here. I thought I was preaching in a holiness meeting, but I'm looking at a whole lot of folks that's claiming an outward standard of holiness, but your back has gone weak. You don't want to stand up for it no more. I want to tell you something. Anything that's worth having, it's worth fighting for. That's what I'm here at Flatwoods for. I'm here to fight. I'm here to tell the devil, we're here to capture our children out of the clutches of your hand, out of the snares that you're putting them in. I want every devil to know that there's enough power in the blood to deliver them. It's just a calf. That's all it is. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just a small calf. That's all it is. But the statement that was made was, Israel, this be your gods. I don't want nobody to fall out with me, but I'm going to be just as plain and to the point as I can. When we let our children choose a lesser denomination, and we smile at it as though there's nothing wrong with it. No, it's all right. They're going to church. And there's some of you claim the Holy Ghost. You'll get on the platform and sing with them, and you look like a sore thumb in amongst them. I'm telling you that when our children were little, we played for them to sing in the Holiness Church. Now we're playing old-time favorites just for old time's sake in the worldly church. Ease in here, why don't you? I'm telling you, when that man looked at me that day in the grocery store, my choir leader, which is a little Debbie man, when I walked in that store that day, this preacher that had backslid away from God, he got saved in a meeting. After he backslid, he got saved in a meeting I preached in, and then he turned and left a hole in his church and went to a nominal church and went worldly. I confronted him one day in the store. He bowed his head, to make a long story short. He bowed his head, and I asked him, I said, Mark, you tell me. I said, who do you want praying for you? That woman that looks like Tammy Faye Baker, or you want grandma that ain't never changed her convictions, that ain't never backed up? The world changed, but it didn't have enough power to change grandma. I tell you what this world needs is a little more of grandma's religion, grandma's conviction, grandma's power. It kept her alive in a crooked world.
He dropped his head and looked at me. He said, I reckon if I was dying, I'd want that preacher, or that saint of God that ain't never changed. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I love all these young folks, but you're amused by Grandma's Holy Ghost. But you ain't amused enough to get Grandma's Holy Ghost. You rather pet your calf than you had to trade it in for commandments. I'm going to say it again. We'd rather pet our calf than we had to trade it in for the commandments. This morning, in the morning service, the Holy Ghost spoke to me about you right there holding the baby. God said to tell her, I've never talked to you. God said to tell her that if she'll not be ashamed of me out yonder, I'll use her to bring folks in here. I don't know her, but there's a lot of lives that are immediately around you you could change by your light. And some are startled by your light as of now. But what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm throwing away my golden calves. I'm getting rid of them. Everything that ain't like God, I'm throwing it out. Everything the Holy Ghost don't want, I don't want it. Everything that God says get rid of, I'm getting rid of it. If God said I can't have it, I can't have it. If God said come out from among them, that's what I'm doing. I'm a soldier in God's army. God said change. God said be different. I'm gonna be different. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can I say what I feel? I'm telling you, I got enough religion. I don't care if Michael Jackson did wear it. It'd be the number one reason why I wouldn't want to wear it. We're living in a sick generation of grown saved folks. When little 12-year-old Susie can look at mama and dictate how high she wants her split. Turn the light on, Holy Ghost, and I'll say it. Are you hearing me in this house? Hey, once was a time Daddy, Mama didn't have to say anything. Daddy had guts to say it. He was a Joshua of the house. He was the man of the house. He didn't wait on a woman to say it. He said it for himself. As me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Brother Cordell, the amazement of it all. Just a couple days or one 24-hour span, the voice of God spoke out of the fire and told them in the place that Exodus 32 took place, thou shall not have any graven images. History records it probably within a 24-hour span or 2 days at the max. They turned around and said, up, make us a God. Now, this is where I'm fixing to really get on some stuff here. Do you know why you can jump hip pocket high in Flatwoods Meeting? And when it's just your local preacher in the pulpit and you don't open your mouth and don't say a word, you shout it out of the pleasure of your own flesh. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, I love this man. I tell you, I got a world of confidence in him. If you don't, it's your fault. I'm not going to get on that subject right now anyways. But anyways, I'm going to tell you right now. Up! Make us gods. For as this Moses, we know what has become of him. Boy, Brother Bailey, he's been on the road just harping on us all the time. Let's pull the card and see how much you prayed this week. Let's see how faithful you've been to church this week. When camp meeting's here, you bring your headache. But when camp meeting ain't here, you take your headache and go home. Sister Bailey, I'm not a novice. I didn't just wake up yesterday. Hey, some folks, I do them. I'm their better friend than they realize. By not calling them, asking them why they didn't come to church. To keep them from lying. Come on here. I had one lady in the church, and I'm telling you, I could call. She'd miss church, and I could hear her when her children answered the telephone. And I say, is your mama there? Oh, speak up, sis. I didn't hear you. Did you say hello? Yeah. I was just doing my pastor duty. I was just calling to check, see why you didn't come to church. Oh, I just had this sore throat. It's about to kill me. Well, I'll try to be there Sunday. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Sunday rolls around. You can't see him. You don't find them. The calf told them to stay out. Oh, you ain't helping me now. You ain't helping me now. There's going to come a day when all the fun of doing it your way is going to come to an end. There's going to come a day when all the excitement of you having the pleasure of calling the shots, it's going to come to an end and you're going to realize it ain't been as fun as I thought it was going to be. What am I going to do
time to talk. What am I going to do when the next stroke leaves me paralyzed where I can't hear nobody?
What am I going to do when all has been said and done and I'm left guilty in front of God? To make a long story short, all of a sudden, history goes on. Aaron looked and saw the golden calf. Conviction got a hold of him. He said, "You will not have fun with this one until we have a day for God first." And then all of a sudden, I feel the Holy Ghost to say this. Some of you in this building, I love you with all my heart. You got enough so-called religion to keep the scissors out of your hair. You don't have enough to tie you to a dedicated prayer life. That's why calves are being set up in your house. That's why I hate to even say this. That's why some of our girls, their conversation around boys is so loose and ungodly. I'm sorry, brother, but it's not just among the outside world that they're messing with. But that sin of perversion has got so thick among us that there's some even fascinated by their own kin. Swallow that one. I knew it would stump you. We don't want to swallow it. Sister Mary, I sat in my office on a Tuesday night. A lady called me, backslid out of our church, screaming and crying. Am I telling it right, baby? She said, "I want me and my husband to come meet with you." I said, "Okay." They drove 60 miles to come meet me on a Tuesday night. She couldn't hardly talk to me for her face being bowed over in her hands and tears dripping out between her fingers. And she was screaming, "I wished I'd have never done it. I wished it had never happened. I wished it had never went that far." And naturally, I began to talk to her and I said, "Tell me what happened. Are you hearing me?" I said, "Tell me what took place." She said, if I'm wrong for saying this, you tell me. But she said, "I laid with my first cousin and destroyed my marriage." You know why some of you are holding your breath? It's not because it's embarrassing you. You got it coming through the sewer pipe in your living room. There ain't nothing wrong with it, preacher. And playing's not fun anymore. I got a call one day. Family called me and said, "I want you to go to LaGrange, Georgia. I want you to visit this boy's home." I went in that home. I won't slow down right here. I went in that home And in that room sat a whole crowd of young men. The highest age was 18 years old, and the youngest age was 8. Brother Lowry, I went in there and I had to sit through a 2-hour meeting with parents and their children as they began to tell in explicit detail how they assaulted their victims. And every case that was told, it started with television and pornography when their parents were in bed. I sat there and my stomach turned, Brother John, inside of me. Sometimes almost puking. And if that's not cute to say, I'm sorry. I got so sick when I looked at an 11-year-old boy and he told of 43 individual little girls that he assaulted. Grown mothers, Mama Bailey, grab their belongings and pull their own clothes and scream and run out the door and say, "That's not my boy." You can't deny it. You brought the sin in. Felt the Holy Ghost just then. You brought the calf home to them. When you're willing to pay the internet bill every month, don't say nothing. When they're hooked.
All right.
What's got to matter? Oh, it's nothing. That's just a little small calf. That's all. But before you know it, you're going to be riding that calf. He's going to be directing which way to go. I sat there in that meeting and I'm hurrying to a close. I sat there in that meeting and I looked around. And I said, "My God, the lives of these children that are destroyed. Totally destroyed. Scars that they'll never ever get over. Records that will follow them the rest of their life. Young boy, you make parents feel crazy at me, think I've lost my mind. But it's a sad day when you move into a new neighborhood after you get older and married. You got to put a sign up in your front yard. A child molester lives here. What a reproach." When you move to a new city, you got to go to the police officer before you can unload your furniture. You ain't wanting to help me. And if it's too much children in that one neighborhood, they can make you move. You're not your own no more. That calf has done made a mark on your life.
Yes, amen. You're right. Come on.
Your worship of that thing has done made you a mark forever. When all is said and done, everything's finished. Everything's over. There's nothing else left to be said. Joshua and Moses comes down after the God speaks to him and says, "The children have defiled themselves." God spoke that to Moses. Joshua begins to speak and he says, "I hear the sound of war in the camp." Moses said, "It ain't the sound of war. I hate this. As much as I hate to say anything, We thank God's in volumes of sound. That's why we can shout in here and scream and holler. And tonight be on the internet doing things we don't need to be doing. I ain't never preached a meeting, Brother Bailey. And I'm not a great preacher, and I'm not asking to be one. But I've never preached a meeting where I'm feeling a strong pull about the net as I have the past two nights. I have preached. And I'm going to prophesy in the name of Jesus. You can write it down. Something's going to take place. Somebody sitting in this building tonight, if you don't hear my voice, your calf is fixing to start talking on you. Every party must come to an end. The question is, where's that party ending at? Judas, it's fun. It's a whole lot of fun. I got a little jangle in my pocket. I'm happy. But never had time to spend it before the scarred conscience was greater than his pleasure. You know our country's fallen in such moral decay when we have to put billboard signs that override the value of the home. Pregnant and scared? Forsake mom and daddy, call us. We'll understand. You ain't helping me. What's the matter, preacher? Don't you sense it? It's the midnight hour approaching us. It's that dark hour of the coming of the Lord. It's that evil hour that the enemy says, I have but a short time. If I'm going to snatch her mind and drag it in the gutter, I better do it fast. That's why she says, I better get married, because everybody else is getting married. You know how far asleep we have fallen. We think the preacher is against our children. So mom and daddy, instead of rallying around the preacher, we're looking for another church to attend. I'm here. I said, I'm here. I'm here. And I know the Holy Ghost is here dealing with you. I've got individuals in my church. I know it's going to get tight right here. It's messed their lives up before they ever come to the knowledge of the truth. I said, I want your children to know beyond a shadow of a doubt they don't have to get married, end up in divorce, and say, oops, it didn't work, and get us another one. You don't want to shout with me, do you? I told them mothers and fathers in my church, come on here. I told them mothers and fathers in my church, I said, you can come to church here, but you can't hold an office in this building. God, why am I here like this? You can't hold an office here. You can't teach. You can't preach. But I said, I tell you what you can do. Every time I tell your child, be sure they get the right spouse. You ought to be the loudest one in the house. Get the right one! I'm going to cut that mountain down if you don't look at me right. You know why you don't want to say nothing about it? Because your conviction fell. Our children look at us now and they don't know who to follow. Both of them are saved. Come on. Come on. I'm here to tell you right now,
the scars, it seems like the Holy Ghost is linking up with Tuesday night again. The scars that are in your life are made by your own soul. I heard you just then. I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. I'm here to tell you in this building tonight. I told them, if there ain't nobody says amen to the preacher, you know the weight of that condemnation. I thought I hit something pretty tight right here. We don't quite see it that way, preacher. It ain't asking us what we see. I'm trying to tell your children there is a relationship they can get with God who knows the future, that can give them the spouse that'll never walk off and leave them. Come on, mama. How come you don't want to help this preacher? Because you want your children to follow you? No! I'm telling you, they're the sufferers. You ought to be willing to kill the calf and stop it from going any farther! There'll come a day when Solomon, when all the wives that you got won't satisfy you no more. There'll come a day when all the companionship of whoever's around you will still leave an ache inside of you. The entire book of Ecclesiastes was wrote during the time of the fall of a backsliding king. And he wrote it out of the remorse of his own conviction that he had dropped and fell in. And the Bible said at the latter end of it, it said, though the king, being smart, if you might say, wise, knowing how to set many proverbs in order, set things down, laws and statutes. See, you may slip out on us, but you'll never forget what you got when you was with us. You'll never forget what you got when you were with us. Come on here. I don't know why I feel the Holy Ghost here. And you may not ask me back next year. And that's fine. That's well and good. But I'm here to tell you in this house, at once was a time your conviction was just that strong. You don't mind me using you, do you? You know what would be a hurt and a shame for this man of God? I don't reckon your boy's here tonight, is he? I got a child coming. You know what would be a great hurt? It's for all of a sudden something to strike in that house. Lives ripped and torn apart. And that child don't know who to follow anymore. I don't know why, for the Holy Ghost, I had a preacher tell me this the other day. He said, when my wife, he preached camp meetings all over this country. He said, when my wife was right, we taught our young girls not to cut their hair. We taught them to dress holy. We taught them to sew up the split. Oh, we taught them this. And he said, now that she has slipped away from us, he said, she goes over and stays with her mama. And when she stays with her mama cuts her hair. Her mama puts her on breeches. So when she comes home to go to church with me, she puts on dresses. Who's suffering? It wasn't you and your calf. It's the one the enemy's trying to make for that child. I know I'm dealing with issues tonight that may wound and hurt. But I'm here to tell you they were some of our forefathers' convictions that brought out of this Bible that made our backbone strong. We cast out devils when we were that shape. We laid hands on the sick when our convictions were higher. But now we're praying. Nothing against it, God forbid. Now we're praying, hoping they'll get better. There was a time we had an affirmative answer. It would get better.
Father, give me a song. There'll come a day when all the fun lights will be all over with. The joints won't be as fun to smoke anymore. Popping the top with the old boys just won't be as exciting. There'll come a day when you'll despise that calf. You'll say, "Wish I'd have never made it." What's gone wrong? Demas, you have forsaken me. Having loved this present world. Now it's your hour to die, Demas. How come you ain't as happy? The lights are out. To enjoy pleasures now is like a shot of numbness to the conscience for the moment. But when they arouse in your age and come out of their numbness, it's a sting in the soul that will never be forgotten. Sin is first pleasing, then it grows easy, then delightful, then frequent, then habitual, then confirmed. Then the man is impenitent. Then he becomes obstinate. Then he is resolved never to repent. Then there forever, he is forever ruined. All the sin that has darkened the human life and saddened the human history started from believing a lie, a falsehood. All power of Christianity that has made men right and holy, all were associated with the first believing of the truth. The Bible simply says it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages that sin bargains for with the sinner are life, pleasure, profit. The wages it pays are death and torment and destruction. To understand the falsehood, the deceit of sin, we must compare its promises by its payments together. What He promised you you'd get out of what you've done, how do you feel about it now? What pushed you to build that altar and make that golden calf? What made you desire to go that way? Now that all is said and done, how do you feel about where you've been? How's your journey been? Quietness don't bother me. It's not moving me to feel I've even missed anything. Our quietness tells how our elders, Brother Marshall, have fallen asleep. I love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. But you ain't got time to waste in playing. If you live to be 70 years old, anybody in this building tonight is 70 and above. Let me see your hand. All over this house. 70 and above. I want to read you something. Time spent in the lifespan of 70 years. If one lives to be 70 years of age, the average person, he spends 20 years of his life sleeping, 20 years working, 6 years eating, 7 years playing, 5 years dressing, 1 year on the telephone, 2.5 years into his own personal pleasure, 2.5 years in the bed, 3 years waiting for somebody, 5 months tying his shoes, 2.5 years for other things, including 1.5 years in going to church. If we live to be 70 years old, we eat, work, and sleep far more than we give unto God. And then we say it's a burden to be saved. Young girls, young boys, she plays softly. You go on and pick the future of your life without the counsel of God. But when it's all said and done, and immorality has rocked your soul to a horrible state, what you gonna do when your children look at you and say, "Mama, you ever been where I'm at?" And drop your head and say, "Yeah, I've been there." Are there any shame coming out of sin? No. But the shame is, sir, the shame is, ma'am, is that you didn't have to go there, but you went anyways. Every young person in this camp, why are we having this meeting? For the sole purpose for you to understand you don't have to go where the enemy would love to take you. Won't you stand with me all over this building? One man said one time, he said, "The pleasures of sin to satisfy the lust that's within is like the ache in the conscience that's never satisfied. It's trading pleasures, heaven for pleasures. It's like trading the Rockies for an anthill. It's like taking Taj Mahal and trading it for just a shack on side the road. It's taking the remnant of the sunlight of God's grace every morning and lowering it to the standard of a remnant of a candle. Some things we have fallen into, the enemy had nothing to drag us there. We went on our own course. It seems like to me in this meeting this year, Brother Jerry's preaching Tuesday night and tonight, God's erasing every excuse. Brother Jerry made the statement this morning that there's some saying, "I'll not come back. I'll not be here next year." Well, the reason we're doing what we're doing this year is try to catch you before you go out. Don't go that way. The horrible scars of sin, you'll never be able to pay for them. But there is a way to get out of them. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I don't want nobody to take offense at this. Especially the young folks, and I love you to death. I love laughing, talking with you, cutting up, having a good time. We're going to dismiss from this service. And some are going to forget about eternity just as soon as we say amen. We're going to go right out there. We're going to laugh and have a good time while you still hang in the balance. My last statement for this service tonight. God spoke to me walking across the front of this building this morning. He said, when they pray through and get saved, Brother Bailey, when I got saved, there's some things I just didn't wear no more. And it wasn't shorts either. It was just some things I just could not feel comfortable putting on anymore. Because Christ wanted me to be an example to this lost and dying world. All smile now.
I had a young man tell me. He said, "Preacher, you come out of a bad lifestyle of filth and rot, of homosexuality." He said, "That dress out there, that wet look, I'm sorry. I'm not saying." He said, "That wet look, that drenched down, run out look," he said, "it's a part of their call." You don't shout on that one, do you? The combing. I asked these questions to him. He said, "The combing straight and flipping up in the front." He says, "One of the signs." Say what you like. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It's a horrible shame. There's not a more deeper state of disgrace you can fall into than that to tell God He missed when He made you like He did. God makes no mistakes. I said, God makes no mistakes. And what He's asking for tonight, will you be different? Will you come out of that world? Will you come out and be different from them? Will you separate that calf? I don't want to say nothing wrong here. I know where I'm at. I know I'm in a camp with a whole lot of young men and women. But I'd rather you walk out of here thinking I'm crazy, knowing I told you the truth, than you leave here and we just smiled at your actions. Next year, we find you're not the same no more. You're needing demons cast out of you. Are you hearing me tonight? I don't know why I feel the Holy Ghost to say this. But I want you to quiet down just a moment. One transaction. You look at this little fat preacher. And I may be addressing something that's more plainer than you want me to. But one transaction. With the same individual that you are, you become immediately demon possessed. You know why you don't want to accept it? Because that religious crowd out there has smiled on it and welcomed them to us. And we've said, well, if we're going to keep them, we better associate and bring them in. We better take them to the cross. I felt something kick me just then. One act, sir. One act, young man. I have never addressed it like I'm addressing it right now. I stand under the light of God's Holy Ghost to say it. One act, you're possessed. And you know why a lot of our people can't see it, Sister Bailey? The gift of discernment has lost among us. Like I'm talking to somebody. It's a mind battle for you right now. And I'm getting closer to you. It's a mind battle for you right now. But it'll soon get where it ain't going to be a mind battle. And you're alone if you don't answer God's call quickly. I've spent this day in prayer. Yesterday, knowing the weight of this message, I said, God, this ain't flowers. This ain't kicking up your heels. I ain't worried about it. He got young men, young women being tormented right now. And I've been preaching 21 years. And I have never took in 21 years the time of dealing with something so plain as I have dealt with this tonight. I hate the devil. I reaffirmed it to him today. He tried to attack my body yesterday in such pain that I had to walk out of this morning service yesterday morning and go lay down. Tears rolled down my face laying on that couch. I said, God, that devil's a liar. He's been out to stop this meeting ever since it started. And you know why? I'm looking across this building tonight looking for Holy Ghost filled people to help me. Because I'm a wonder. That's why our demons ain't being cast out. We don't see them anymore. We're not startled by them. They feel comfortable coming to church with us. They sing with us in our choir. They play our music. And we don't even know that they're bothering them. Young girl, and my plans were to close it out. But a young girl come to my church some years ago. My baby will tell you I'm telling the truth. 5:30 one morning on a Sunday morning, I was dead asleep. God made me a promise. And I know He's in the business of keeping His promises. He made me a promise. When I took that church 13 years ago when it had nothing but 13 people, we're running over 100 in Sunday school. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When I took that church and laid down on my face before God, God visited me that day like I ain't never had a visitation. He said, if you'll never compromise, He said, I'll never withhold the secrets of men's hearts from you. I was laying in that bed that morning, and out of the clear blue, God sent me straight up in the bed. Teenage girl in my church that was living with a young lady and out of our church that moved from Chicago, Illinois. She flashed in front of me. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, she's a lesbian. I got up out of bed. I spent my time in prayer that morning. No, sir. I didn't wait to play around. I didn't wait for the emotions of Sunday school and everything else. I went to that pulpit like a man on a hunt for some soul that's fixing to be destroyed. You hear me? It wasn't but just a week or two later, after God brought it out, she packed her bags and left. I'm here to tell somebody in this house, the Holy Ghost ain't always going to court you. And you play with that evil deeds of sin. He's not always going to speak out of the fire. He's not always going to come down to the servant and say, put it up. One day, He's going to visit and He's going to grant the desires of their heart, send leanness to their soul. And then they resort to never change. I weigh heavy on my soul right here to be very careful. As I said at the beginning of this preaching, I want to say what God says. You hear me in this house? I feel like I'm after some folks in this building that's standing on the threshold of a terrible ruin. Of a terrible ruin. Father in heaven, I stand in part into Your service. Every word that I have spoken this building tonight will be weighed against me in judgment. Father, I've committed it all into Your hands. I feel assured in my soul. I spoke everything that You told me to speak. I've tried my best to be